Get ready, Padres fans. It's time for the Geico Padres pregame show on the Padres Radio Network.
5-0 feels pretty good, and that's number 15 for Manny. That ties him with Tatis for the team lead.
Coming up, our recap of the Padres' previous game, today's pitching preview, our keys to the game. Plus, we'll hear from the manager, Chase Tingler.
What a day keeps the hit doctor away.
From the Padres Radio Network studio here in San Diego, here's Matt Scraby.
I have sent all the positive vibes I could into the universe over the last few weeks. Maintaining the Padres are in control of their own destiny, and they are not out of it yet. And as bad as things have gotten, and as positive as I have been, Season 2.0 starts today. The Reds and the Padres both have played 124 games this season coming into today, and it's simple. Both teams started the day at 67 and 57. The team that wins the most games from here on out is the team that goes to the playoffs. Plain and simple. But if you really want to complicate things, you have the St. Louis Cardinals, the New York Mets, and the team in town tonight, the Phillies, they are all ready to take the playoff spot away from the Padres. And part of controlling your own destiny means you win the next two against the Phillies, win the series, and carry that momentum into the next series. I know everyone listening has been really frustrated with how this team has played, and I don't blame people for feeling that way. Unless the team is completely run out of gas, which I don't think is the case, the spell of bad play has to be coming to an end. I can't believe that a team with this much talent can continue to lose games for the rest of the season. The turn has to happen at some point. Let's take two teams, for example, this season. The Yankees are in the midst of winning 9 straight, and on July 4th, the Yankees were 41-41. They are now 71-52, and they've gone 30-11 since July 4th. Now let's talk about the Braves. They were 44-46 when the second half of the season started on July 16th. They are now 4 games up in the division and 66-56. They've gone 22-10 since the second half began, and they have won 7 in a row without their best player in Ronald Acuña Jr. So the Padres still have a chance at this season, and it starts today. I'm Matt Scraby, and this is the Padres postgame show on 97.3 The Fan. We're going to go through a lot of stuff today leading up to first pitch between the Phillies and the Padres. Pretty cool. A note for tonight's game, Aaron Nola is pitching it to his brother tonight, Austin Nola. First time that has ever happened, but we'll get into that a little bit later. But first, let's relive what happened in last night's game.
Let's take a look back at the previous Padres game. This is the Padres Rewind on the Padres Radio Network.
Segura bouncing at second. Here's the 3-2 pitch, and that's hit in the air down the left field line. Pham is not going to have a play, and it is off the top of the wall. Segura comes in to score easily. Realmuto just missed a home run. He'll settle for an RBI double. 1-0 Phils here in the third. 3-2 coming, and Harper hits it in the air deep to right field. That is an absolute no-doubter. Up over the barrel deck. A 2-run home run for Harper. His 23rd of the year. And now all of a sudden a big-time 2-out rally for the Phils. 3-0 here in the third. Especially when we're in situations like that. 1-0 is hammered to left field. That is deep. That is gone! I don't know how, but it is a 2-run homer for Manny Machado. I think the fence out there is 8 feet high. I don't know that that ball ever got more than 8 feet off the ground. It skipped off the top of the wall and left and into the seats. This is a 1-run game in the bottom of the third, 22nd of the season for Machado. Ready to help get the ball back in play as this one is lined to left field. Kind of towards down the line. They didn't have him played that way. Fans got to track it down. Segura's rounding third. He's on his way. Cronenworth's relay to the plate is cut off. RBI double, Andrew McCutchen, and the Phillies add on here in the eighth. It's 4-2. Here it is, and a liner up the middle, but right at Gregorius. The shortstop makes the catch, and the ball game is over. For only the second time tonight, the Padres go down 1-2-3, and Ian Kennedy earns the 4-out save. Final score, the Phillies 4 and the Padres 3. Pods have dropped 4 in a row and now tied with Cincinnati for the final playoff spot in the National League.
And that, unfortunately, was the result of last night's game. The Padres, they had that mini rally there in the, I believe it was the third inning, but it didn't help them win. They had the bases loaded 3 separate times, and hopefully they can figure it out tonight and get some runners driven in with the bases loaded, if they can get the bases loaded tonight. All right, let's go down to Petco Park and see what Tony Gwynn Jr. is thinking about tonight's game.
Let's get an inside perspective on today's matchup from Tony Gwynn Jr. in our game preview. Presented by Chula Vista Honda, the newest Honda dealership in San Diego County. Come preview our huge selection of over 500 new and 250 pre-owned vehicles at ChulaVistaHonda.com.
Well, Mr. Tony Gwynn Jr., how are you doing tonight?
I am doing wonderful, Scraby. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I can hear it in your voice. Your voice is just so it's just so happy today, and that's a good thing because the Padres have not been playing very well lately, and I know you guys say that the guys don't pay attention to the standings or anything, but now that they are matched up with the Reds and they're 67 and 57 each, can you treat this now as a new season heading towards the end?
First, I don't know that the guys don't pay attention to it. Usually that's in the context of what should they be doing, right? What should their focus be?
Okay.
They're human, so of course they're paying attention to it. And if unless you're living under a rock and you don't have any social media, they have to know exactly what's going on. So I think from that standpoint, you're hopeful that they can just focus in on the task at hand. But listen, this thing is all tied up at this point. And so in terms of the wild card, so, you know, the urgency has been here, and it's going to continue to be here, and they just got to find a way to win ball games. It's as simple as that.
I know that one of the topics we were talking about yesterday on the show is Fernando playing center field, and he's been playing the outfield pretty well in a lot of people's opinions. In my lowly opinion, he made his debut in center last night, and for someone who's actually played outfield in Petco Park, what have you thought about him playing there so far?
I honestly thought he looked more comfortable in center yesterday. Doesn't mean that's necessarily the spot for him, but he looked a little more comfortable out there in center. And obviously it's the easier of the three outfield spots in terms of reads. He's looked good. And I think most importantly, the experiment has gone well because he hasn't been at risk of hurting himself. And I think that's really, at least for me, how I'm looking at it. He gets through the game and there's no injuries out there, and he's able to get his 4 or 5 at-bats. That's a win, I think, for the Padres. Anytime he's hurt or on the IL and not able to help this ball club, it's not a good thing.
It's also kind of a cool fan experience to have Fernando in the outfield. When he was at shortstop, you have no access to him. Now that he's in right field and center field, he said it's going to get much busier around right field and center field. He's absolutely right. Everybody's going to go over there trying to watch him.
Well, yeah, I mean, you still don't have any access to him, per se, but you will be able to at least wave to him and get his attention because in the outfield, there's not as much action. You know, there's a little boredom out there.
Doesn't he look bored a little bit?
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he is at times compared to what the type of action he was getting in the infield, but I think the transition has gone just fine, and it's not a surprise.
Last one for me, Tony. We've talked about it on the show. The Padres, they haven't been trying to steal bases as much as they did early in the year, and some of that is because they're coming from behind. But do you think that we will see them take more risks down the stretch, even if they are down in the game?
I have no idea. I you know what? I meant to ask Jace about the kind of drop-off that we've seen on the base pass here as of late, but didn't get a chance to do so. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, and I think part of that is because I'm not sure what the reason it stopped in the first place. I know teams are paying a little bit closer attention, and there's been some times where the Padres have been down, but that was part of who they were early on. So at some point, I'm a pin Jace down and maybe see if he has a better or an idea of why that is, why they haven't been stealing. I know I've heard him say that teams are paying a lot closer attention, and maybe that's just it. But I have a hard time believing that you go from 90 bags through the first, I don't know, however many months, and then from like July 27th on, you've got 3 or 4. So that's a cliff. That's not a slight drop off.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there, and I look forward to your answer once you do pin down Jace Tingler and ask him that question. All right, Tony, thanks so much for joining us here on the pregame show. Have a good call with Bob Scanlon tonight.
All right, buddy, take care.
All right, see you, Tony. Tony Gwynn Jr. previewing the game here with us on 97.3 The Fan. We are leading you up to first pitch between the Phillies and the Padres at 5:40 p.m. I'm Matt Scraby, and the pregame show is brought to you by GEICO. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. Get a quote today with a proud partner of the San Diego Padres at GEICO.com. When we get back, we're going to talk about some of the things that are happening around baseball, including a player who called timeout but still hit a home run didn't count. We'll tell you everything about that when we get back on your home for Padres baseball, 97.3 The Fan.
This is Mike Clevenger from the San Diego Padres. You're listening to the Padres pregame show on 97.3 The Fan.
Matt Scraby back with you here. Padres pregame show, 97.3 The Fan, the Geico Padres pregame show. And we're leading up to first pitch between the Padres and the Phillies. We got Aaron Nola. I'm going to get this right because it's going to be a little bit confusing today. You got Aaron Nola pitching for the Phillies. You have Austin Nola catching for the Padres. So that's something to look for. But first, let's go and talk with our guy, Randy Jones, and figure out what he would be feeling right now.
Let's go inside the mind of a former Padres Cy Young Award winner. This is the Randy Jones Report, powered by Old Town's premier restaurants and attractions on the Padres Radio Network.
Well, Randy, the Padres, I think it's safe to say they're feeling some pressure. They're going through a big old tough stretch right now. And do you remember a time in your career where your team was feeling some pressure of losing games while trying to make the playoffs?
No. Now we didn't have to worry about that, man. You know, we never got that scare. I wanted one, but we never got that opportunity. But I mean, I could only imagine right now trying to right the ship, and the losing streak's a losing streak, regardless of where you're at. Hey, you got to come up with a remedy to fix that, get back on the winning side of things, and that's a team effort. They're gonna have to work at it.
They will have to work at it, and hopefully it starts tonight. How would you personally handle inside the clubhouse when your team is losing like this? How would you handle it?
I would tell somebody to pitch a shutout.
Well, that's simple. That? I like it. I like it.
It is that simple, to be honest with you. Let's go out there, slam the door on the Phillies. We win the ball game. That simple. How about that? That may be a solution for tonight.
I hope so. I hope so. I would love to see a shutout from the Padres tonight. Fernando Tatis Jr. has been playing some outfield. What have you seen from him out there?
He looks pretty comfortable. Looks like he's jagging fly balls during batting practice. And that's what he should like. That's exactly what he's been doing really since he was a kid. Think about it. You know, and he's out there. He reacts well on the ball, responds well. And I'm not surprised at all. And I'm very impressed. Have you noticed he's been using two hands to catch fly balls?
He has, yeah. Yeah, I have.
Yeah. That's old school.
But it's the way to do it. I know that's how I learned in Little League. And Chris Ella will tell you that in softball, I didn't use two hands one time, and I dropped the ball. So it just proves right there that you have to use two hands.
Yeah. I can only imagine you probably got yelled at, too.
Because Chris was the pitcher, so he was not happy about it. I gave up a run for him.
Yeah.
But tonight, like you said, Joe Musgrove, he needs to go in there. He needs to shut the door on the Phillies. How would you have handled the pressure to go deep into the game? Would you? I mean, obviously, you would invite it, but how would you kind of get yourself prepped for that?
Well, you know, it's a mindset. I think, you know, you got your game plan. You know how you're going to pitch everybody. You got to go out and execute that game plan. I think in the smarter way, as Musgrove knows how to do it, is, you know, you don't need to throw 100 pitches in the first 5 innings. You know, be a little more efficient. Maybe pitch to contact in a couple of scenarios when you can. And keep your pitch count down. And first, that's going to give you the goal, and you're going to be able to go deeper later in this ball game and feel better. So those are certain things that he can do himself. Just don't get in trouble early like we see if the pitch count gets way, way up. You know, and that's when they really get into trouble. So hopefully Musgrove can get around that. You know, and hey, get to the seventh inning. Boy, that'd be a boost for our bullpen as well.
That definitely would. All right, Randy, appreciate you joining us on the pregame show, and I hope you enjoy the game tonight.
I'm going to enjoy the game. We got Nate Colbert throwing out the first pitch, an old teammate of mine. So
okay.
We're going back to throwing out the first pitch, so it'll be fun to catch up with some old teammates.
Yeah, definitely. If you're listening now and you're outside the park, make sure you head in there to see that first pitch.
Yeah, there you go. All right, buddy. Enjoy the game.
Thank you very much, Randy. That was Randy Jones, the lefty Cy Young Award winner for the San Diego Padres. And he sounds like he is headed down to the ballpark like a bunch of other people. So I appreciate Randy for joining us here on the pregame show, the Geico pregame show. Let's find out who was the guy who called timeout and then hit a home run.
What are the big stories trending in baseball right now? Time to find out with today's Twib Notes on the Padres Radio Network.
From the best result to the worst result, Yankees Rougned Odor is regretting something he did earlier today. Twins pitcher Ralph Garza Jr. was about to deliver a pitch in the seventh when Odor asked Angel Hernandez for timeout, which was granted as Garza was just starting his windup. He threw the pitch anyway. Odor swung at the pitch anyway, and it left the park, which would have been a three-run home run for the Yankees. He took the homer out of his own pocket because Angel Hernandez did grant him time. And to add more pain on this whole thing, the end result of the at-bat would be a strikeout for Odor. So that is as bad as it gets for if you were to call timeout and hit a home run. We talked about Mets owner Steve Cohen this week tweeting about his team not performing this year, and one of the highest paid players on the team agrees with the tweet. Francisco Lindor told reporters today, quote, "We've been getting that message all year. We haven't really hit all year long. I haven't performed. I haven't done it. Bottom line, I haven't done what I'm here to do when it comes to the offensive side. Defense, they can't talk to me. Base running, they can't talk to me either. But offensively, yeah. Criticize me. Say whatever. You're right. You're all right. I'm with them. I haven't performed." That's actually really refreshing to hear from someone like Francisco Lindor taking ownership of how he is playing when he is at the plate. Now, don't talk to him about the defense, though, because, you know, that's he says you can't mess with him on defense. But I do appreciate and I do respect him taking the blame for the offensive side of the of his game. All right, that's it for the news around baseball. Kind of a slow news day, a little bit. I know that Rich Hill and Albert Pujols, they went at it earlier. Two of the oldest guys in baseball facing off, and I believe Albert Pujols took them yard. So Albert Pujols wins that one. All right, let's find out who's hot and who's not.
Which player is locked in at the plate? Who needs to kick things up a notch? This is Who's Hot, Who's Not. Presented by Tarpey Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Fix it once, fix it forever with Tarpey Heating and Air.
Matt Scraby with you here on the Padres pregame show. If we are looking for short term, in the last five games, the Padres have two players with an OPS of 1.2 or higher. Fernando Tatis Jr. has an OPS of 1.241, and Jake Cronenworth has an OPS of 1.232. During the last five games, Fernando has hit three home runs, two doubles, and six RBIs in that span. On the pitching side, in the last six games, Austin Adams and Pierce Johnson have been the best out of the bullpen. Austin Adams has pitched 5 2/3 innings, struck out nine, and has an opponent average of .056, while Pierce Johnson has picked up a win, given up only one earned run, and he's struck out nine, and opponents are hitting .150 against him in the last six games. Who's not? Unfortunately, it has been tough for Adam Frazier at the plate. In the last 18 at-bats, he has two hits, which is a .111 average and an OPS of .311. He was on the show with us yesterday for Friar Friday on Quinn and Chris, and he said it's been tough for him. He wasn't an all-star for no reason, but hopefully brighter days are ahead for Adam Frazier. Also not hot, the last night was the second time of the season the Padres have worked 10 walks and lost. The first time they did it was against the Pittsburgh Pirates on April 13th earlier this year. They had 13 walks in the game, and they ended up losing that game. This has only happened eight times this season, and the Yankees have the season high of 14 walks and a loss. But the Padres are on that list twice. If there's only been eight times that it's happened, the other team that's on the list twice, the Houston Astros. So two very good teams not able to get wins after working 10 walks. It's kind of a weird thing, but I found that kind of fun too. I found that kind of neat. And there's my dorky side of me. Matt Scraby with you here, Padres pregame show. And Joe Musgrove is going to be pitching for the Padres tonight. And Aaron Nola will be taking the mound for the Phillies tonight. When we get back, we're going to hear from Joe Musgrove. He was on Ben and Woods earlier in the week. And we're also going to get caught up on what's going on with the Nelson Lamet. Jace Tingler met with the media, so we'll hear what he has to say about that. That's all next on your home for Padres baseball, 97.3 The Fan.
This is Coach John Katura from the John Katura Show. You're listening to the Geico pregame show on 97.3 The Fan.
Thank you very much for that, Coach. We are about 35 minutes away from first pitch between the Padres and the Phillies in Game 2 of the three-game series. So the first pitch will be at 5:40 p.m. today. On the mound for the Padres today is Joe Musgrove, and he met with or he talked with Ben and Woods the other day. So let's hear a couple clips from him.
It's time to dig deep and take a close look at the San Diego Padres. This is Padres Spotlight on the Padres Radio Network.
So the rest of the season after the Phillies leave town is going to be filled with Dodgers and Giants games against the Padres. And Ben Woods asked Joe Musgrove about having 19 games left with the two leaders of the division, the Dodgers and the Giants.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's, you know, one of the nice things about the way our season finishes. It's going to be a gnarly finish, and it's going to be, you know, wearing on everybody on both sides. But, you know, we have a chance to directly change the where, you know, where we are in the standings. We're playing those guys as many times as we do. You know, we can jump a lot of games really fast there. So, you know, obviously everyone wants to win the division, but the ultimate goal is to get into the playoffs and give ourselves a chance to compete, you know, in the postseason. So whether that comes as a wild card or whether it comes as a division winner, or we get the home seed as a wild card, you know, that stuff is all secondary just to getting there. So I do think there's a lot of chances or a lot of room for us to make a lot of jumps here, but, you know, it's got to start with winning these games now, you know.
That was Joe Musgrove with Ben and Woods talking about having 19 games left with the Dodgers and the Giants. I would say just go one game at a time, but I'm not going to tell Joe Musgrove anything because he is the one who actually has to play. Another question that Ben and Woods asked Joe Musgrove was about the different circumstances that they have now that they have lost multiple starting pitchers.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to go out there, especially when you're down guys in the rotation and you know you have, you know, two bullpen games out of 5 days. You know, you want to go out there and be able to give them as much as you can, but it also didn't do you any good to give it up in the first inning, you know, because you're trying to pitch to contact, you're trying to get quick outs. I think you got to go in there with the right game plan and maybe pick out the certain guys in the lineup that you know are overly aggressive and take your chance with those guys on being more aggressive in the zone and trying to get quick outs where you can. But it doesn't mean just, you know, serving them up over the plate and hoping that they hit them at people. You know, I think the quality is always going to be more important than the quantity. You know, and at this point in the year, it's hard to say that because you want to be able to get deep in the games and give that bullpen as much rest as we can. But our guys down there are dogs, man. Those dudes prepare better than anybody. You know, they're in the training room. They're in the weight room getting what they need to do done. They know the situation that we're in, and that's, you know, what makes a team is when your staff's down and the bullpen's got to pick you up. When the offense isn't going, the pitching's got to be there. When the pitching's struggling, the offense has got to go. You know, it's all those things combined that makes a good team. So it's definitely not something we want to continue to put on them and have them hold on their shoulders. But, you know, while we're in this situation, given they know what's expected of them and they know what they have in front of them, so they're preparing that way. You know, we just got to hope that our guys are doing the right things, you know, physically on, you know, on the field in the training room to make sure that they get back in, you know, in a timely manner so that we can finish this season with our best guys out there.
Joe Musgrove with Ben Woods, and one thing is for sure, when Joe Musgrove hangs up the old cleats, he is going to be a great analyst if he wants to be, because he knows how to break down the game and make it very interesting. Last thing from Ben Woods with Joe Musgrove, he talked about the recent struggles.
You know, man, this is something that every team goes through. You know, a lot of the good teams will go through it. Some teams are, you know, like the Giants are having one of those years where they haven't seemed to hit that stretch yet, but, you know, there's a month and a half left in the season, and I feel like this, you know, this stretch of the season comes on everybody at some point. So, you know, hopefully we're getting ours out of the way now. And, you know, we seem to play up in those big games against, you know, the quality teams in the league. So finishing our season against the Dodgers and the Giants, you know, we like our chances there.
So that was Joe Musgrove earlier in the week with Ben Woods. If you want to see that or hear the rest of that interview, you can go to 973thefansd.com, look for the Ben Woods page, and you can find also the Gwynn and Chris interview with Adam Frazier from yesterday. So 973thefansd for both of those interviews. All right, Jace Tingler met with the media before the game, and he had a lot of questions to answer what he thought of Fernando Tatis playing in the outfield.
Let's take a trip down to the Padres clubhouse and hear from the manager, Jace Tingler. Presented by Sin Lee Food. Find your next cooking adventure at Sin Lee Food. 4665 El Cajon Boulevard. The Cook's Asian Resource.
First question for Jace Tingler today. He was asked how he thought Fernando Tatis played in center field yesterday.
I thought he had a really good day. He had some balls kind of over the head, some line drives where he went back. He went, back to kind of both gaps a little bit. I thought he did a very good job. I think it was on Williams maybe once or twice. He got around the wall to the warning track. I thought he knew where he was. I thought, in a short sample last night, it was pretty encouraging, but not surprising as well.
That was Jace Tingler with the media, and he said everything that I thought. Jace Tingler was also asked if he anticipates Fernando Tatis Jr. playing shortstop again anytime soon.
I do think he'll be back on the dirt. You know, at some time I do anticipate that. But right now he's on a pretty good run of, some right field. And like I said, last night, center field. So right now we'll kind of keep it rolling. But I don't rule out getting back on the dirt at all.
And then Jace Tingler was asked what he believes has fueled the Padres' skid over the last 9 games.
I think just a combination. We haven't we just haven't been consistent on whether it's pitching or some timely hitting, some things like that. I will say, I thought, last night our guys competed so well. They competed hard. They fought. And, it's a pitch here or there. It's, it's maybe we gave up a walk here or there, or just an at bat where, we had guys on and just couldn't find the gap or square up a ball here and there. But the guys are laying it all out there. They're competing. I loved what we did, offensively, minus maybe not being able to get a big hit here or there. But up and down the lineup, the guys are battling. The guys that came in and pinched hit had really good at-bats. And so, to me, that's encouraging. And these games, when you're competing like that, they can go either way. And it's just getting a break. Like I said, it's squaring up a ball, getting a ball in a gap. Being able to execute a pitch here or there, being able to control the running game, these small details in these games that are, one run games. And, you feel like you want to get on the right side of it to turn momentum because you feel it's really close and it's something that you could, kind of capture and flip the momentum towards your side. And I feel like we're right on the brink there.
And then Jace Tingler was asked how concerned he is that the team hasn't played their best baseball yet at any point this season.
That's been the frustrating thing, Bryce, and I think that we all feel that. That's been what's so frustrating, and the encouraging thing is that it's still in front of us, and we're playing meaningful baseball, and we do feel we haven't played our best baseball, but the exciting thing is that it's right in front of us if we can go out and take it. So while there is frustration with it, there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of optimistic views that if we can do that, we can still achieve our goals that we set out to do at the start of this year.
Who's in? Who's out? This is the Botta Fulkerson Injury Report, presented by San Diego's Bulldog Injury Attorneys, who hope you're never in an accident. But if you are, make Botta Fulkerson the first call you make. Hit him up 24/7 at BottaFulkerson.com.
Well, there is a couple things to report on here for the injury report, and it's all pitching related, which is seems to be everything that is going wrong with the Padres right now. But Jace Tingler was asked how Yu Darvish's bullpen session went.
Went well. He was feeling well. He played light catch today, and I think the plan is now he'll throw another bullpen tomorrow, and we'll kind of see how he feels and how that goes tomorrow. But everything went it was very positive yesterday, physically, just how his lower back and how his arm, how everything felt, how he felt mechanically, from the fastball to the way he was spinning the breaking ball. It was a good day yesterday. And, tomorrow will be another bullpen session, and we'll go from there.
Hopefully everything continues to go well for Yu Darvish. Jace Tingler was also asked about Denelson Lamet and asked what he saw when he threw the ball yesterday.
Was last two. I thought it's been kind of the first time in a while where I've seen life in the body, life in the arm, fastball, just the body, the way his arm, everything was moving great. So he still got the stitches. in his hip. So there are some things medically that the doctors have to clear up. Certainly getting the stitches removed, making sure all the infection and things like that are gone. But I thought from a pitching standpoint and just how his slider and how his fastball and how his body was working, very encouraging. And I hope we're getting close to the point of he's getting close to some type of game action.
And last thing from Jace Tingler about Dinelson Lamet, he was asked for the timeline of whether or not he's going to be back.
The situation right now, he had the infection in him. And so two things. He's got stitches from getting that removed. The doctors have to, you know, remove those stitches, you know, for him to go on and play. And then the last thing is there is still a little bit of that infection in there and making sure that's drained before we get off and going. So, you know, the doctor's obviously concerned if there's an infection in there, even though it's small, that it could potentially get worse. So they want to make sure all that infection is drained out of the body and then he's able to get off and going.
Ugh, I don't know if Jace Tingler, when he took the job, knew that he was going to be half doctor, half manager, because he's had to learn a lot about the human body this year with subluxations and infections and hips and all that other stuff. But hopefully Dinelson Lamet will be able to return pitching before the end of the season. All right, if the Padres are going to win, this is how they do it.
How are the Padres going to unlock a victory today? These are the keys to the game. Presented by BMW of San Diego, your certified BMW dealer serving drivers throughout San Diego and the surrounding areas. Kearny Mesa Road and the 163 and at BMWSanDiego.com.
The Padres have won 47 games this season when scoring 5 runs or more. And branching off of that, the Padres are 46-17 when scoring first. But they fall to 21-40 when the opponent has scored first. And one more thing on that, when the Padres trail after 6 innings, they're 6-47 on the season. But when they have led after 6 innings, they are 51-3. It is night and day for the Padres. If they're trailing after 6, they don't win. And when they're leading after 6, they win almost every single time. So find a middle ground, please. Find a middle ground somewhere. The starting pitching length is also a key to the game. The Padres have won 41 games this season when the starter went at least 5 innings. Unfortunately, the starter has only gone 5 innings 67 times this season, which is 54% of the game so far. And if you take that further, if a starter goes 6 innings, the Padres win 74% of the time. Problem is, they only have had a starter go 6 innings or more 34 times this season. So hopefully Joe Musgrove can hit that 6-inning plateau, because that means that the Padres win 74% of the time, according to the numbers. Matt Scraby here with you on the Geico pregame show on 97.3 The Fan, leading you up to first pitch. I can talk, I promise, leading you up to first pitch at 5:40 p.m. We're going to be talking in a little bit about Austin Nola versus Aaron Nola. Very cool, two brothers squaring off, and we're going to get the pitching preview. But we do have to tell you what happened earlier today with the Dodgers and what happened with the Giants. So we'll do the out-of-town scoreboard when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.
You're listening to the Geico Padres pregame show. Saving you money on car insurance has been Geico's home run for over 75 years. Get a quote today with a proud partner of the San Diego Padres at Geico.com.
Matt Scraby back with you here on the Geico Padres pregame show. And let's waste no time and find out what happened with those other National League West teams today.
Time to check the scores around the big leagues with the Out of Town Scoreboard. Brought to you by OG's, your headquarters for all games, with 7 convenient locations in San Diego.
The Brewers are taking care of the Nationals in the top of the 9th inning, 9-5 in Milwaukee. And the Reds are all tied up with the Marlins, 2-2 in the top of the 6th in Cincinnati. That's a big one. We will keep an eye on that, and we'll talk about it in the postgame show. Braves and Orioles are tied in the bottom of the 4th inning in Baltimore. The Red Sox and the Rangers are in the top of the 4th. The Rangers winning 3-1. In fact, the Rangers, the left fielder just made a great catch up against the Green Monster. And they reviewed it, and it looks like he barely got the webbing on the ball, but he did make the catch, and he did throw someone out, so great play there. You'll probably see that a couple times. In the top of the 4th inning, the Pirates and the Cardinals are tied at 1, and then we have some of the finals from earlier today. The Yankees took down the Twins 7-1. The Dodgers ended up beating the Mets 4-3. Max Scherzer got the win, and former Dodger Rich Hill, he took the loss. He is 6-5 on the season. Kenley Jansen's 27th save on the year. We also have the Rays beating the White Sox in Tampa 8-4 earlier today. Luis Patino, former Padre alert, getting the win for the Rays, 3-3 on the season. The Royals beat the Cubs in Chicago at Wrigley, 4-2. The Blue Jays beat the Tigers 3-0 in Toronto. Now, here is the one that hurts a little bit, because the Giants were trailing the A's in Oakland earlier today, and it went all the way into the top of the ninth inning, and the Giants ended up coming back and winning that game. They won 6-5 over the A's. They have won 79 games on the season, and that is just the trend for the Giants this year, is just finding a way to win every single time you play a baseball game. And then the Indians beat the Angels today in Cleveland 5-1. Last game, Astros crushed the Mariners 15-1 in Houston. So not even a close game there. And the Rockies and the Diamondbacks are delayed due to some rain at Coors Field. All right, I told you, it's Austin Nola versus Aaron Nola. Let's talk about it.
What's the one thing you need to be on the lookout for in today's game? This is What to Watch For, presented by Evergreen Nursery, Mother Nature's Nursery.
So the reason I get these guys confused is because they are so similar. Austin Nola and Aaron Nola. Austin Nola, the Padres catcher. Aaron Nola, the Phillies pitcher. They both went to LSU. They both have started now 163 games, which is really crazy. And this is going to be the first time that they face each other at the major league level. So that is something definitely to watch for tonight. I think that's pretty cool. I think every brother would love to either strike out their brother or hit a home run off their brother at the major league level. I think that would be pretty darn cool. So watch for that. Since the All-Star break, the Padres have posted the fifth best on-base percentage in baseball with .335. However, they have gone just 14-17 since the break, which is a 45% winning percentage. So can they convert when they get on base tonight? They have to. Last night they had bases loaded three separate times, and they weren't able really to get anything from that, and that was the turning point in the game. So they have to convert when they get on base tonight. We're just a little bit away from sending you to Petco Park for Bob Scanlon and Tony Gwynn Jr. to call the game between the Phillies and the Padres. So let's find out what is going on with the pitching matchup.
Now, let's take a look at how today's starters match up with our starting pitching preview, presented by Frank Subaru, your dog-friendly Subaru retailer.
Aaron Nola, he's 6'2", and he is 28 years old. He is 7-7 on the year with a 4.48 ERA. In his last start on August 15th, he went 4 1/3, gave up 6 hits, 4 earned runs. He walked 3 while striking out 4 in a loss to the Reds. And so that was Aaron Nola's last start. His 163 strikeouts are 9th among all National League pitchers and 13th in the majors, and he ranks 3rd in the National League and 6th in Major League Baseball with 10.89 strikeouts per 9 innings pitched. Nola is just 37 strikeouts away from becoming the 6th Philly ever with 3 200-plus strikeout seasons, joining Carlton, Bunning, Alexander, Lee, and Hamels. So that is pretty darn good. Since 2018, Nola's 712 strikeouts ranked 4th in Major League Baseball, behind Garrett Cole at 881, Max Scherzer at 805, and Jacob DeGrom at 774. And if you were wondering if it's happened where brothers pitched to each other, the last time a brother has faced another brother was when the Royals' Kyle Zimmer struck out his younger brother, Bradley Zimmer, on July 10th. Bradley Zimmer plays for the Indians. On the other side, the No-No Joe is set to make his 25th appearance, his team-leading 24th start in his first of the season versus the Phillies. It will be his first appearance versus the Phillies since 2019, and he was tagged for his first loss since July 10th, his last time out, last Saturday at Arizona in the no-hit, the 7-0 defeat. He allowed season highs in hits, which was 10, earned runs 6, with five of those runs coming in the first inning. So Joe Musgrove knows what he needs to do. He's thrown the most breaking balls among all major league pitchers this season. But Joe Musgrove, he knows what he's got to do tonight. No Joe on the mound. All right, thanks to Brian Cohen. Thanks to everybody else. We're going to be doing post-game after the game. I'm Matt Scraby. Make sure you tune in for the entire game here on 97.3 The Fan, and then you join us after the game for a Padres victory celebration, hopefully.